The Lord wants to bless us. This is the way of the Lord to bless us. This is his desire. And this is why we preach the gospel. I really don't know of anything that I could do outside of preach the gospel. I would be completely lost at anything else because, you know, you're born for a certain thing. They got a song they sang, I believe Bud Chambers wrote this a number of years ago. It's called Born to Love the Lord. And I think maybe Jimmy Davis recorded it. But when you're born for a certain thing, that's all you can do. And I was born to love the Lord. You say, how do you know? Because I love the Lord. Let's give him a hand. To me, that's good proof. So I was born to love the Lord. I just love the Lord. I love the Lord. And I recognize him as the Word. And I love him. I love the word of the Lord. I love his way. I love the way he thinks. I love the way he does things. Everything he does is just so thrilling to me. It just pleases me well. And sometimes I get a good spiritual spanking, or the Lord has to chasten me, to deal with me as a son. And the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment, but I just love the Lord. It doesn't matter if he chastens me or whatever, I just love the Lord. You know, if you have a real dad and mother and they chasten you, you still love them, don't you? It doesn't matter if they chasten you, you still love them. And that's the way it is with the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. All right, so I could tell you many reasons why I love the Lord, but the only thing is it would take all night long. And I just love him. I love his way. I love his people. I love the Lord's people. The Lord wants us to understand his way of life. He is trying to get us to understand his way of life. Let's read just a little bit from the book of St. John, chapter 4. Let's start at the 6th verse. This is St. John. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marvel that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now, if you'll notice here in chapter 4, Jesus tells us that God is a spirit. Now, this is what I was speaking of just a few moments ago. God is a spirit. This is what we want to remember. God is a spirit. And they that worship God, therefore must worship God in spirit and in truth. Because if God is a spirit, then he seeks such as to worship him in spirit. So then the body profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. God has killed out the flesh, destroyed the flesh, done away with the flesh, because the flesh is contaminated from its first birth through the fall of Adam and Eve from the garden by the means of the expulsion. See, so then we realize that God, being a spirit, he is looking for spiritual relationship. And he is asking you to be spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd love to speak unto you as unto spirituals. See, I would that you were spiritual, not natural, not carnal. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So that I would that you were spiritual. I don't want you to be carnal, he said. To think carnal thoughts, as I said today, is to court Lucifer. But to think spiritual thoughts as unto God, then you are making love to the Lord. I love to make love to the Lord. You know, God is love and God is life. And this love comes forth emanating from the breast of Jesus. And this wonderful God of creation, as the spirit of love penetrates the veil of my human body, in that my middle wall of petition as to the flesh, as to the keeping of ordinances and whatever, as to my stumblings and staggerings, Christ has taken them all out of the way. And so then God doesn't see my being anymore as the natural man, and he just penetrates and comes right through. And he comes to my spirit. And my spirit and that spirit of love becomes interwoven. And I am thus joined unto God as one spirit. So then I am with my Father one. Jesus said, my Father and I, we are one. If I looked at my natural being, as to speak of my natural person, I could not say that my Father and I are one. Because I was born of Adam. And Jesus said that you come from the earth. From the dust I come from heaven. But when I am born again as to the Spirit of Christ and His Spirit within me, I can say my Father and I are one. I can say because Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we are one. Make these one, Father. So then we're one spirit, all baptized into one body by one spirit. So then my Father and I, we are one. And tonight I rejoice in the love of God. I rejoice in the love of God. I have received of him charity, the bond of perfectness. And because of this, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. So then, I can feel the warmth of his love. And his love constrains me until I walk in the wonderful ways of God. I cannot resist his love. His love is so overwhelming that it is so possessive that it allures me and entices me until I'm drawn to his breast. And I find that he and I become one through that love. That love that makes us one. I could not reach him, neither did I have the ability of the love toward him to be able to reach him. But his love is so great that he has swallowed me up in his love. Like a great man of God said one time, he was talking to somebody, and this individual, kind of arrogant, said, "Well," said, "I tell you, brother, we just marked you out of our circle." And the brother said, "Well, that's all right." He said, "I've drawn a bigger circle and took all of you back into my circle." Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. So as the Bible says, you know, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you if you love the Lord. And if you'll do the things that please God. And you just don't have any enemies. Love makes even your enemies, you know, to be friend. Jesus said even to Judas, "Friend." So we see that God is a spirit. And God is wanting us to serve him in spirit and in truth. He's wanting your spirit to emanate from within you as to reach up to heaven and take hold of his spirit and to be spiritual so that the spirit can talk with you. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation so that God can talk with you. So you can hear the voice of God and meditate in his laws day and night until you come to the place to where every thought is cast down and there's nothing else left of you. And do you say, "Lord, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me." And with Paul, the apostle say, "To live is Christ." To live is Christ. To live is not Brother Pye. To live is not Brother Taylor. To live is not you as an individual, but to live is Christ. For you, as an individual, through the first birth, you sinned, and the body is dead because of sin. So then God has taken away the body. It is no more. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is buried. It is gone. God has done away with it. See, so it's not you living. Tell me something. Why then do we as people want to be so ambitious? You know, we've got to build, we've got to buy, we've got to make ourselves a name, we've got to have some kind of a career, we've got to be a celebrity, we've got to project ourselves, we've got to do many things. Why do we have to do that? In that it's not us living, but Christ. Why is it that Christ isn't doing what he wants to do with our body? Why is it that we keep trying to incorporate God into our lifestyle as to bring him in that he might submit to us and he might furbish and refurbish in our lives so that we can do what we want to? Why do we do that? See, why not submit to him, incorporate him in our lifestyle that we might submit to him, that it might not be us living nor our desire, but Christ that's living within us. And that we can say with Paul, "To live is Christ. And if I die, then it's gain." Because he said, "There is a crown of life laid up for me." And not only for me, but he said, everyone that does the will of God, everyone that follows God, he said, "There's a crown of life laid up for you. And that at the last day." So then, God is a spirit. This woman kept talking to Jesus. And she said, "I know that when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus said, "I that speak unto you, I am he." And this, of course, you can't imagine what that done to that woman. You just can't imagine. Here she was at the well. She couldn't understand why. She couldn't understand why that Jesus, being a Jew, would communicate with her. And Jesus, being maybe about 30 years old or a little older, as I've said before, he probably was a fine-looking person. And her having that adulterous spirit, having had so many husbands, no doubt she was trying to think how she could subdue him. You know, it was in her mind as to his person. And the more she talked, the more Jesus just drove the devil out. And the more she began to realize how foolish she was, how fleshly she was, how childish she was. And Jesus began to talk about living water and eternal life. And living forever. And no doubt she thought, "My, I never tried to flirt with anybody like this in my life. I never met anybody like this." Remember, Jesus was a man. And the Bible said that he was the man Christ Jesus and tempted in every way the same as you're tempted. And yet without sin. And as he began to speak, we say, Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. As she began to hear that spiritual cooing from God, she forgot about the lust of the flesh and everything else. And all she could think of was heaven and eternal life. And she was caught up in this wonderful, wonderful atmosphere of the love of God. You know, that's what we need to do, folks. If we'd walk more with God, if we'd walk more with God and be more like Jesus, then we'd be caught up in this great, wonderful atmosphere, this heavenly atmosphere that's emanating from God coming down to you and I. So then God is a spirit. What's wrong with the church today? The church is not spiritual. Somebody would say, well, I think it's the greatest hour that the church has ever known, Brother Pike, as to being spiritual. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it to incorporate ball games into the church to make the church spiritual? When you have your own ball team in the church, is that being spiritual? Somebody said there's nothing wrong with ball. I didn't say that. I see children playing ball a lot of times. Sometimes they throw the ball to me and I throw it back to them. I didn't say that. Here's what I said. I said, is playing ball spiritual? Whether it be football, baseball, whether it be the dogs or the red devils or whoever. Is that being spiritual? Let's give the Lord a hand. I don't think it is. I think that's being carnal, and I think that's carnality. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. I think that belongs to the world. And I think that's the natural side of life, and I think you're majoring on the minors. Let's give him another hand. All right, so then we just want to know where we're going, that's all. Be sure that we clarify what we're saying. So, God is a spirit. I want to communicate with God. I want to be spiritual. I want to have a spiritual mind. To be spiritually minded is life, because life is the spirit and the spirit is life. See, there is no life, as I said in one of our earliest sermons, there is no life in going to church. There is no life in belonging to the church, being born into the church, so far as the natural side of it, baptized into the church. That doesn't do any good. Giving to the church, being a faithful member, having served the church all of your life, it isn't worth the time that you took to do it, so far as eternal life. You're doing a good thing, that's nice. You know, it's fine. But folks, we're talking about eternal life. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So then, to have life, you've got to have spirit. You know, a baby comes into the world. He's born into the world. We have what we call a stillbirth. The baby is there. The head is there. The eyes is there. The ears is there. The mouth is there. All the things that the baby needs, it's there. Everything is there. Except one thing. And that is life. Where is the life? If it's a stillbirth, where is the life of the baby? So then we're looking for the life of the baby. Where is that life? See, everything seems to be proper, but there's no life. So it's a dead baby. It's a dead baby. And it isn't long before the deterioration of that little body comes. And it goes back to the original composites. And it's back where it was. See, this is what happened to Adam and Eve. God had quickened Adam and Eve and breathed the breath of life into Adam and Eve, and they had become a living soul. But because they listened to the wrong voice and they did not follow after the words of life, then the illumination left and the spiritual atmosphere left. And here we've had a stillbirth. And God said, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. And folks, so it is today with many hundreds and thousands and millions of religious people in the world today. I'm speaking of religious people. From the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. You're going through ritualistics. You're going through all kind of things. And Jesus said, during all this time, he said, I'm the Prince of Life, and I have life and words of life. He said, but you won't come to me that you might have life. He told the Pharisees and the scribes, he knew they were great people. He knew they were serving Moses. He knew that they were trying to follow the law. But Jesus said, you still don't have life. I have life. I'm the Prince of Life. And he said, and you won't come to me so that you can have life. It's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. And he said, not even the wicked. I don't want to see the wicked perish. I'd rather see them repent of their sins and come to God and have eternal life. But he said, if they will go their way and be wicked and contrary to me, he said, if you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. And he said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He said, if the wicked continue to be wicked, he said, I'll tear you into pieces. He said, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And he said, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. So then we see what the Lord is trying to tell us. God is a spirit. God is life. And God is going to have a people. God is going to establish his house in the latter times. And the Bible said in the last days the house of the Lord shall be established. It shall be a beautiful thing. And all nations shall flow unto the house of the Lord. So then God is doing a great thing. He's establishing that house. Look at the way he's doing it. See, Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. I've got a plan, he said, like Moses in his day. God said, Moses, see that you build all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. And so they did, even the tabernacle, whatever it was. See, and so then in the days of Paul, Paul said, and the gospel is committed unto me unto the Gentiles. I have a revelation, Paul said. I am a wise master builder. So I have a revelation. I'm going to build a city. I'm going to build a city. I'm going to build a city by this revelation. But he termed it like this. He said, this city's builder is going to be God. The great city whose builder and maker is God. But he said, it's not me living, it's God. So I'm going to build a city. And by revelation, I'm going to lay some lively stones. And it isn't going to be me at all. It's going to be Christ, the one that chose the foundations of the apostolic leaders and laid those foundations. The same Christ is going to work in the hearts of mankind, and he's going to build a pyramid city called New Jerusalem. And you're going to be those lively stones, not as to the natural people that you are, as being born of Adam, of back to the dust, having been planted with Jesus, but as the spiritual new man that you are, having been born again. And this is going to be lively stones, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation of God, which Jesus Christ himself shall be the capstone of this building. That beautiful all-seeing eye, the pyramid capstone of this great wonderful building. And that is to say, Paul being caught up to the third heaven and being the capstone, and yet not him living, but Christ living within him. And the life, he said, I live by the Son of God. And so then he spoke of Abraham, and when the writers spoke of Abraham, they said, Abraham, the father of the faithful, who sought a city whose builder and maker is God. That beautiful city, we're told that John saw that beautiful city. The angel said, come hither, John, and I'll show you this beautiful city. And the Bible said, taking him up into a high place, he looked and he saw this beautiful city descending out of heaven with her light most precious, like a jasper stone, with her beautiful stones and founded upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders. For Jesus chose those 12 and he gave a foundation. And he said, and they that build upon these foundations need to take heed how they build thereupon, for the day's going to try their work. And you don't need to build hay and stubble on this foundation. You need to build on the rock, and you need to build with the lively stones. See, building up into that holy priesthood toward that capstone, even the revelation of the Son of God, Christ himself, the all-seeing eye, or that is as the woman the well said, and Messiah knows all things, and he will tell us all things. But isn't it beautiful to think that God has said that to you and I, we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. We should know all things. We even know when Christ is nigh, even at the door. So then Abraham searched for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that hath foundations. And I've said to you so many times, folks, this world doesn't have a foundation. The astronauts know that this is a little ball floating around in the universe. They know that the sun is the same and the moon is the same and all the planets are the same and the stars are the same.
All of those things are just floating around. They don't have a foundation. And another thing that they've learned is they haven't been able to find a foundation to that outer space, as we call it. Someone would say, well, we're in this world, and that's outer space. But it appears that we're on this world, and all around us is outer space. And this little ball is rolling around just like all the rest of them. And somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, where is that bottomless pit that the Bible speaks of? Sounds like it's all around us. Someone would say, well, where is hell? The Bible said hell from beneath. And of course, when we think of hell from beneath, we think of the type, that the fire that's in the heart of the earth, that's melting down the walls around it and enlarging itself to the extent that the earth is cracked like an eggshell. You know, because the Bible said, hell from beneath hath moved, for to meet thee at thy coming, and enlarged itself without measure because of so many nations that's to go down in it. God didn't intend hell for those that rejected God. The Bible said hell was prepared in the time of God's anger for the devil and his angels. But because men have sinned so, God hath enlarged hell to meet the people that are being put in hell, until the lake of fire swallows up hell, when death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. So all around us, everywhere, there's that great chasm. There's that great pit, like they call it, the dark hole out there. Tell me, where's the top? Where is the walls? Where is the bottom? You're just sitting on a little ball here. What if it blowed all to pieces? Where would you be? See, where would you go? You understand what I'm saying? There is no bottom. There is no top. There is no side. The Bible says it's the bottomless pit. It's the bottomless pit. And men, as I say, are given an understanding as to an intellectual indoctrination, since they fail from that wonderful paradise of God. And they do this as to keep their stability as 1, 2, 3, and ABC, and the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock and whatever it is, as to these little things that they've instigated to be able to keep their balance. But beloved friend, we're growing out of that. We're getting out of our childhood. We're going beyond that, and we're beginning to realize that we are gods. We are gods. Oh, somebody says, well, I don't believe this. Well, why did that witch of Endor? Why did she say to Saul that I saw gods coming up out of the earth when Samuel came? See, gods in the plural. And the Bible says that God hath made us gods. And when he spoke of the old scripture, of the Old Testament, he said, is it not written in these that I have called ye gods? When they said that he blasphemed because he said he was the Son of God. So then we are gods. We're now moving out of our childhood. We're getting away from the things of the world. The eagle is leaving the barnyard and leaving the chickens. And we're beginning to realize that we're not confined to this little ball. You know, they are confined to this little ball because this is their world. And this world must pass away. And Satan is the prince of this world. He's the one that's in charge of it. He's the one that's got control of it. Even the gravitational powers as to the dust and to the elements of which you are composed. He hath you confined by the strength of that to the gravitational powers. But when Jesus got ready to ascend, he broke all the laws of Mother Nature. He broke all the laws in that he fulfilled them and just went away like that. And when Peter walked on the water, he did the same thing. When Ezekiel in the Old Testament was transported from one place to another, he did the same thing. He just sailed right through the air. So I'm saying that they are confined to this world, but I'm not. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. But he said he left this little globe. He left this little ball called earth. And he said, I went high, 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 as you would say, into the third heaven. Into the third heaven. Someone would say, well, where is it at, Brother Pike? It's just a translation away. Let's give the Lord a hand. And the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. How did he do that? Faith, by the hearing of the word of God. The church, therefore, is going to be translated that he should not see death. So we see that we are not creatures of this world. As to the first birth, we are. And we are from the dust and back to the dust we go. But in that God has already taken care of that. And my body is now dead. My flesh is now dead. It's now gone. It's not in the presence of God anymore. He doesn't see it anymore. Because of sin, he smote it. And the body is dead because of sin. He buried it in the wonderful name of Jesus in the watery grave. And so then being buried in his likeness, when Jesus rose from the dead, then I came forth with him under the newness of life. And today I am alive forevermore. I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. And it's not me living now. It's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, which gave himself for me. I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh, and my Father and I are one. I am not under the confines of the gravitational forces of nature. I am not under the confines. My body was, but my body is dead. My body's gone. My body came from the dust. It went back to the dust. That it has been buried. It's gone. And now God sees that man from heaven. And the Bible said, and that second man from heaven. So then, now I am the second man from heaven. I am born again. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I'm not in the world anymore, because God has chosen me out of the world, hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And so then I'm sitting in the heavenly places, enjoying the wonderful presence of Almighty God. That's why the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. So then we're enjoying this wonderful eternal life. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you have to wait. You haven't got eternal life yet. I know that I have eternal life. See, I pass from death unto life. And I shall never come into condemnation, because there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. He said that if we walk in the flesh, then are we in condemnation. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Therefore you cannot fulfill the desire of the flesh to be brought under condemnation. So I've escaped the confines of this world, the gravitational forces of this world, the powers of Lucifer. I've escaped it. That's why the Bible speaks of the dispute over the body. When Satan came to claim Moses' body, there was a dispute over that body. There was a dispute because Moses had been on the mountain. He had been in the glorious realms with God. He had exhaled the flesh. He had become spiritual. So that body was taken out of the hands of Satan. Today, my body doesn't belong to Satan. Your body doesn't belong to Satan. Your body belongs to the Lord. And Satan hath no right to have that body. That's why the angel contended over the body of Moses, saying, the Lord rebuke thee. Death had no power over it. Today, you're his body. Satan hath no power over you. God said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then death is an enemy, and the last one to be conquered as to the world. But he's already conquered for you and I. And we have passed from death unto life. So then we do not have to die. See, the body that we have cannot age. There's no such thing as aging with God. God never grows old. See, we never can age because we are born of God. See, our spiritual man is eternally alive right now forevermore. And we have the desires of our heart, and whatever we say, we can have it if we say and don't doubt. The only problems we have is through unbelief, as it was with Eve when she disbelieve what God said. And when you start believing and you let God have your heart, and you get farther and farther away from the world, farther and farther away from the flesh, the more you're bound in God, and the more you walk in the Spirit, and more you have the desires of your heart. For God said, I will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in me. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Just delight yourself in the Lord. So then, I find that God is a spirit. And today, I am no longer the living soul. I've been born again. And now, I've become one with the Spirit. And today, I'm a quickening spirit. And Spirits, as I said, cannot die. In heaven, you're equal with the angels. Angels are spirits. I make my ministers a flame of fire, but I make my angels spirits. And so then in heaven, we're equal to the angels. And we are in heaven. We are in heaven. You know, they came to Jesus on one occasion. They tried to trap him in his words. And they said to Jesus, we would ask of thee a question. Jesus said, say on. So they said, there was a certain man that married a woman. And the man died, having left no seed nor children. And then came the second, and then came the third, and on down to the seventh. And eventually the woman died. Now, they thought they'd really trapped him. And they said to Jesus, said, now in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? And they were so sure in their cunning device that they had trapped Jesus. Jesus just simply said, you do err. Can you imagine that? He doesn't have a reputation as to the priesthood. And now he's standing before the leaders of Moses and telling them that they're in error. And they're the great Bible scholars of that day. He said, you do error, not knowing the scriptures. Can you imagine that? They've given all their life to the scriptures. And now he tells them, said, you don't even understand the scriptures. You don't even know the scriptures. He said, you do error not knowing the scriptures. For in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Or that is in the resurrection. They're neither marrying nor given in marriage. And they're neither male nor female. As to the body, there's male and female for reproductive purposes. But when it comes to the spirit, there's no male and female with the spirit. See, we are one. You are not a woman, and I am a man. In God, we're one spirit. We are as the angels. We are as Michael, as Gabriel. See, in the spirit, that's where the life is. And we're supposed to be spiritual. We're supposed to be people of another world. We're supposed to be walking in the spirit, talking in the spirit. Our conversation is supposed to be in heaven or in the spirit. We're supposed to be growing rapidly in the grace and knowledge of God to the might and power of sonship, that we might rule with a rod of iron. But here the church is so flimsy. Here the church is so poorly. Here the church is investing their time in ball games and pool tables and frolics as to societies and positions in life and seeking after the gullible desires of the world as to monetary values, looking after the frocks as to dressing, and going after automobiles and houses and lands and prestige of the world. And that's a sad condition for the church. In the early days, the church got rid of all of those things. Paul said, lay aside all of those weights that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. For he that entereth into a race that striveth for mastery, he said, he seeks to please his master. He doesn't become entangled in the things of this life. So then he said, run so as one, not as he that beateth the air, but as one that would win. For everyone that enters into a race, he said, he doesn't win, but the one that runs according to the rules. And of course, this Bible is the rule book. So then when we run according to the rules, you know, you might be religious. You might belong to a church. You might have their brand on you, as we said in our early sermon. See, you might be one of them, but you may not have the blood tag, and God may not receive you. And another thing, you might belong to the societies of this world and have a great reputation. Whereas the Bible said, and Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation. But the thing is, you might have one. But I tell you again, that isn't going to benefit you as to life if you've not been translated by faith into the spiritual life of God. You still don't have eternal life. You may have all those things, and you might be abounding in the world, and you might feel that everything's well with you. But I tell you again, all of these things of the world profiteth nothing. They're vanity of vanities. And Solomon said all is vanity. And it's like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. And then the writer said, if you observe the lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. Jesus is our mercy. Everything that God did with Jesus brought me mercy. And for me to believe in my own intellectual reasoning is to deny the Word of God. And for me to look to the things of the world, to observe these lying vanities that's going to pass away, it means I forsake my own mercy by that observation of those natural things. So then I observe things of God. I look to things of God. I think upon things of God. I meditate in the laws of God. I let my conversation be in heaven. Because that's where my treasure is. And that's where my heart is. So wherever a man's treasures are, that is his heart. You strive for the things of vanity and the things of this world, then you're going to be a creature of vanity. And when vanity passes away, you're going to pass away with vanity. But all is vanity, vexation of the spirit. But I am a spiritual being. The Bible said, Lot, that just man's soul was vexed from day to day by their filthy conversation as to that which was down in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. So then, I am following after the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm meditating in the Spirit. I'm bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, striving day and night to be perfect before the Lord. Not that that has anything to do with my salvation. My salvation is by grace of the blood of Jesus, by the atonement. But I'm not going around borderlining to see how close I can get to the edge and not fall over. I'm not trying to see how much of the world I can get and trying to scrutinize and say, well, I know better than the preacher. I know that this isn't wrong, and I know that this isn't wrong, and God doesn't care if I have this and whatever. I'm not trying to do that. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things do not expedite the cause of Christ. All things, he said, do not edify. I could care less about those things. Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, it's immaterial with me. I'm not interested in them. I know what is right as to the Word of God and faith in God. And he hath told me that I should lay aside every weight as to those things of the world, whether they be right or wrong, as for me to have them. All things are lawful for me. But it matters little. I want to go on with God. I want to be 100% with God. I want to find the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And it is a true fact that 12 thrones was set so that 12 leaders, as to apostles, could reign upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, because they followed the Son of God in the regeneration of mankind. And I want to follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I want to be like Jesus. Brother Taylor sings, to be like Jesus on this earth, I long to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. So the woman said, sir, when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And he said, I that speak unto thee, I am he. And he said to some of the others, he said, lest you believe that I am he, he said, ye shall die in your sins. And so then Christ speaks to us, and the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God, and judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. Let all the world keep silent. Let every man be a liar, and God be true. So we find it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I want to be spiritual. I want the understanding of God. I want that magnificence of the understanding of God. I long to have it. It is within my heart to have it. My desire to have it. I go into Nigeria. I go by faith. I go there to tell the people about the love of God, the understanding of God. I go to the different parts of the world. I go there without any personal ambition or any personal motive, but just to be about my Father's will and my Father's business, to do always, Jesus said, the things that please the Father. That's what I go for. So I don't have any other plans or purpose. When I spend the money that I spend, I try my best to spend it in the way that it will benefit souls, help the needy, and glorify God. I have no other desire to spend money any other way. And as a matter of fact, I don't spend it. You, the followers, spend it. You in the offices, you spend it. Or those that are in control of the books, they spend it. But the thing is, I have to sign the checks for it to go out. And so does the treasurer. But the thing is, we're trying to magnify God. Are you given to God? Are you given to God? Have you been flirting around with the world? Are you caught out in the world? Are you doing all the things of the world? Trying to tell somebody that you've learned a new way in religion and you've got a new thing now and you found out that this isn't wrong and this isn't wrong and the other people were just old fogies and now you've got something brand new. I don't mean this wrong, but I'm just relating something. There was a certain woman that is among one of the greatest gospel groups that the world knows. And you're well familiar with them. She sat on a television program not too long ago and gave her testimony in favor of an individual that we said would fall and God would bring them down. And she praised them and the wife of that individual told her some things. This woman had been devout as to Christ, as to a worshiper, as to doing something for God. But the wife of this man that was to fall told her some things, and all of a sudden this woman received it by saying, "Now I'm free. I've learned some things from this woman. Now I'm free. I can do many things now," as we would say. And overnight, those people fell into a state of chaos that has become a reproach and a shame to humanity and a reproach to God, such as men have never done in years gone by. See, and this woman that said she was free, I don't hear anything of her anymore. She must be so ashamed. She's withdrawn. I don't hear anything of her. She was tremendously famous and being blessed of God. See, is that what you want? You want to fall into the sin and shame? You want to look back into Egypt? You want to turn back into Egypt in your heart? You want to go back to the kindred of your flesh? You want to do the things of the world? Do you desire the things? Paul said, wherein you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. That is your intellectual reasoning, your carnal mind unto death. As to desire the things of the world, Satan desires the things that be of the flesh. But do you that love the Lord, would you like to be free, the son of the free woman? Would you like to be as to have your mother, that great city of New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, with the mind of Christ free from the bondage of the beggarly elements of this world, as to be gravitationally fastened to the desire of the flesh and the bondage of these things that your nature yearns for as the natural man, or that your senses reach out for as the natural person? Would you like to be free? You can be free. The Bible said, "He that the Son is made free is free indeed." That is to do. So we see that God is a spirit. We need to be reconciled unto God, and we need to turn away from the things of the world. We need to consider the body dead. Go about doing good things like Jesus did, getting closer all the time, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down the imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and giving our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy unto God, the Bible said, which is but a reasonable service. We should do this and then say, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. Every thought, every deed, to live, it's going to be Jesus. People are going to see Jesus, and then the world will follow us to this wonderful feast of charity. Go out and give the invitations, and they'll follow you to this wonderful, wonderful well of living water. All right, let's give the Lord another hand. Can you do that? How do you love the Lord? Can you say amen? Come on, folks, wake up. We just got started. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So we thank God for his wonderful blessings and the glory of God and the wonderful strength of his presence that accompany us all the days of our life. Let's stand together. Appreciate the kindness of your attention tonight. Hope we've said something that might inspire you. Sometimes it gets a little deep. The water gets a little deep. And sometimes it gets a little strong as to what we say. But the thing is, it takes strong medicine to do you any good. If we love the Lord, if we walk in the Spirit, if we give our minds and hearts to him, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For you're not in the flesh, that Satan should have any dominion over you whatsoever. He hath no dominion over you. The body is the Lord's. He cannot touch your body, because your body is the glorious body of the Son of God, and he hath no power over it whatsoever. So then you're free from sickness, you're free from poverty, you're free from sin and all the corruptions of the world, because he cannot touch you. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He cannot get beyond that great, wonderful seal of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed as to your inner man, your soul, unto the coming of the redemption of the body. Don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. The Lord said, I'll send my angel before your face, but don't grieve him, for he won't spare. All right, let's sing together, Brother Taylor. Give me another key. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord coming down. And when the saints began to pray, let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord coming down. Can you sing it? It's coming down, down, down. It's coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints began to pray, to let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. One more time. For it's coming down, down, down. It's coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints began to pray, the good Lord then can have his way. Then the glory of my Lord will come on down. One more time. It's coming down, 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 down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Oh, when the saints began to pray, good Lord then will have his way. And the glory of the Lord is going to come down. So we are changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And herein is the righteousness of God revealed. From this wonderful blessings of God, the innermost glory of God, we see the spiritual being, even the second man from heaven. And we're dwelling in those heavenly places. And today our body is free from sin and corruption. Can we sing another little chorus together? Give me another key. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. By here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by here? Somebody needs the blessing, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs that blessing, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs that blessing, Lord, come by here. And oh, precious Holy Ghost, won't you come by here? Well, come by here, sweet Holy Ghost, come. Come by, I hear, sweet Holy Ghost. Oh, come by here, my Lord, come by here. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and come by here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord. Somebody here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord, so come by here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord. Somebody here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come? Can you sing that with me? Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. And oh, sweet Jesus, come by here. Let's give him another hand.
And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. We'll give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away.
While we sing this, the altars are open.
And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away.
One more time now.
So we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. And we'll give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. And we'll give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away every stain.
I love Him. I love Him.
Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Can you sing that one more time then?
I love Him. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in this book, it is thine.
You love the Lord?
Let's sing another chorus or two. Sing that song, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows. Let's sing that, can we? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come, then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call it, said of son. Sing it with me now. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Can you sing it with me now? Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm sure the sister wants prayer. If you want prayer, just step up here. We'll pray a special prayer for you tonight. Let's sing this little song, Jesus Used Me, Brother Taylor. Can you sing this with me? Won't see you anymore till I get back several weeks before we get back from the Holy Land. And we'll still be praying for you. Still be asking God to help you and to stand with you, because He loves you and He wants to stand with you. And we're going to be praying a special prayer for you that He will stand with you. Don't slip away while we're gone now. I sometimes say to little Joe, I say, don't go run away, little Joe. Don't run away. So don't slip away while we're gone. We sang that song, Keep on the Firing Line. Keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier He can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you win the battle, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. All right, let's sing Jesus Used Me. Can we sing that together? Give me another key for it. Jesus Used Me. Sing that with me now. And oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord,
compelled by will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it one more time. Jesus, won't you use me? Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. It grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. This love grows sweeter through long life's way, and all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter. Can you sing that with me? It grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. This love grows sweeter for a long life's way, and all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, this love grows sweeter each day.
Do you love the Lord? His love is sweet. He's long-suffering. By His stripes we're healed. Hath delivered us from our enemies, that we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And you're my spiritual children, Jesus said, as long as you abide in my words, then are you my sheep. And my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. For God hath not given to us the spirit of error. And sometimes you may stumble and stagger as the spirit of error tries to entice you. But God has not given you the spirit of error. Therefore, you are not the child of error. You need not error. You need not stumble in the wrong way, because you don't have the spirit of error. He has not given it to you, but He's given you the spirit of life, the spirit of the quickening. So that if the Spirit dwell in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall also by His Spirit quicken your mortal body, by the Spirit that dwelleth within you. And this, of course, is what we want. Isn't that right? If we do this, then we can sing this song together. Let's sing Bringing in the Sheaves, Brother Taylor. We're bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. I shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. I shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing.
bringing in the sheaves. Let's turn our eyes to heaven, our hearts to heaven. Let's lift our hands up.
As we love the Lord, let's sing this together.
Give me another key for him. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land. Then time shall be no more. Sing it again now. For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing it with me now. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Sing it again. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better be ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for that bridegroom to come. One more time. So we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready one more time now. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Do you love him?
Amen.
Let's close our eyes, lift our hands, ready for the bridegroom to come. Supposing the bridegroom comes during the time that we're gone. Supposing he comes. Supposing he's coming and you don't see him. Supposing that he could be here and you've not recognized him. Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? On one occasion he said to Thomas. Could it be that the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded our eyes as to the desire of our own human being and our own selfish way and purpose in life, as to the gullible desires of trying to achieve our goals in life, as to human reasoning, as to saying, we know? Sometimes to know something, the Bible said, and you don't know something that you ought to know. But there's one thing about it. He's with us. He's helping us. So he may come while we're gone. Let's sing one more chorus. Close our eyes and lift our hands together. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face on his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. So let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in me the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in thy shine, that we see that Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. So let thy will be done. With your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, examine yourselves once again and see if you be in the faith. Meditate in the laws of the Lord day and night. Draw nigh unto God that he might draw nigh unto you. And while we're gone, be good children. Love the Lord. You that are grown up as parents, it's your duty to help provide for the children and to watch after the children. And to find out by praying and searching to make sure that they have natural food and natural comforts of life as to whatever you can help. And they do the same for you. And let every man seek another's welfare and look on the things of another and esteem others better than yourself. And let charity, fervent charity, be with you and be among you, for it covereth a multitude of sins. Will you have real love? Real love, and you're willing to sacrifice yourself upon the altars of love for your fellow man, though you may stumble many times, the good man will fall 7 times and get back up. God will always take hold of your hand, because the merciful shall obtain mercy, and to seek another's welfare is to have mercy. To pray for another, pray for me, pray that God will deliver us from evil, and God will keep us, and God will anoint us with his great, wonderful anointing of wisdom of mind and word, and in power, that we might have power indeed to heal the sick and to deliver those that are oppressed, to cast out devils and to bring deliverance to those that are needy. While we're standing here with our eyes closed and our hands lifted up to heaven, think on the Lord Jesus. Think on his love. Think on his glory. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Ingram to come and dismiss us. And while Mike's coming to pray, let's think on this. Mike's traveled around quite a bit. Just a few days ago, he helped save a man and woman's life. Somebody attacked him in the park. And Michael ran over with a stick toward them and drove them off. And the police caught him and found out that the man had just
in the past took a shotgun and blew his dad's brains out or killed him and had attacked this couple. And I read the letter that they wrote him from court. He was headed in that way. He told me that he had to go to court over it, but they had excused him from court. And they give this man a severe penalty of about 30 years for attacking the man and woman. And then, of course, they're going to try him for murder also of his dad. And I think about Mike coming up. In that day, the Bible said, and Michael stood for his people. Stood for his people. It's strange, but at this time, Michael seems to have a desire to come with the brethren of Bethlehem and to be a part of what they're doing here. And while we're standing here praying one for another, let's just lift our hands up. Let's love the Lord. If you're my children, then you'll do the things that I've told you to do. I've not shunned, as Paul said, to declare unto you the full counsel of God. And each time that I go away for a week or a month or ever how long it might be, then I always try to leave with you the wonderful words of life and your faith that we've taught you in God, that He's with you all the time. Willie sang He was here all the time. And I try my very best to tell you to keep a vision. While I'm gone, keep a vision. Without a vision, you'll perish. Keep a vision so you can work for God and do something for God, because it's needful to keep a vision if you're not intending to perish. So then let's keep a vision. Let's labor together. Let's do something for God. Search out the things of God. Find something to do. Stimulate others and help others to be stirred up by your light and your ego toward God. All right, as Brother Mike comes, may the Lord bless you and may God keep you until we return to you, Brother Michael.